Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen? Amen. What a beautiful day. You know, just the praise and the worship was incredible. God bless. Let's give the Lord a hand offering for our praise team. Amen? I tell you, I didn't know they were going to be singing today, but I'm so glad they were because, boy, it lifted me up in my spirits. And I got so much in my heart and my mind right now to say, so I got to slow down. Many of you know me. I'm pretty fast. I just want to thank the church and all the elders and all those that allowed me and my beautiful wife, Heather, stand up. Maybe they don't know. This is my beautiful wife. Amen. I waited a long time for her. She waited a long time for me. But I want to thank you for all allowing us to come here and share one of the most beautiful, wonderful, most important times of our life. Even though we're up there in the age a little bit, but it's never too late. Anybody's out there single, it's never too late. Just don't stop praying. Don't stop believing, because our God is able. Amen? All right. So I just thank you all. You opened up the church. It was a beautiful time for us. And the church was so gracious to allow us to use whatever we needed. And just thank you so much. And Sister Candace and her husband, how they helped us in so many ways. And it was just a wonderful time. So I want to thank everybody. Amen? And this is the first time that I'm not in Africa with Pastor Dominic and Rescue Revival Ministries. He said, Randy, you're getting married, so you're staying home. I said, you know what? It's a great trade-off. I'd rather be with my wife than going to Africa. No offense, Africa. Amen? But I love Rescue Revival Ministries. That's why I'm wearing the shirt. I love Pastor Dominic Denisi. He's the one that married us. And let me tell you something. I've been with my pastor for 9 years, and I love that man. But I'll tell you, there was no one in my heart that I wanted to marry me than Pastor Dominic Denisi. Because I knew he would say the truth for both of us. Because, see, we didn't want to make a mistake again as we did in the past. And one thing about Pastor Dominic, he tells you the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, he asked me if I wanted to speak, which is really ironic because, you know, I just got married, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, June 6th, I'll never forget that date. And now I'm here preaching the gospel, so only God could do those things. But anyways, when he asked me, I says, well, I had something I wanted to speak. And he come around and he says, Randy, I've been preaching the parables to the church. I said, oh, okay, great. Parables are awesome. I love the parables. He said, well, I want you to do the parables of the 10 virgins or the 10 handmaidens. I go, what? Whoa. Okay. But in my heart, I already had that in my heart that I was going to teach that. So I think the Holy Spirit's got something to say to us this morning. Amen? So if you have the Word of God, which I know you do, if you would like to turn to Matthew 25. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that's happening in the world today. I'm not a eschatological teacher or preacher, but I do study eschatology. What that means is the end times, prophecy, and those such things that's in the Word of God. Because let me tell you something, 25-30% of the Word of God is prophetic. Prophecy. Amen? Jesus alone filled, I think, over 300 prophecies when he came to planet Earth. Think of that. No one could ever do it. 300 prophecies that were spoken thousands, hundreds of years before he came. He fulfilled every one of them to the last letter. Only God could do that. But I want to share something real quick. When I was thinking about this, I heard a teacher teach this, and he said, you know, all prophecies in the Bible are all being foretold, and we know when they're going to happen. Israel knows that they're going to be going through what they're going through. They know if they read the Word, they know. They know that what's coming. They know the Antichrist. We know the Antichrist. All these things are coming. But the only thing we don't know today, prophecy, is when he's coming back. We don't know. Why do we know? Because God wanted it that way. So we can be ready. Always. Amen? Not knowing, okay, Lord, you're going to come back in 5 years, so I better get ready now. No, 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 no. He could come back at any moment, any time. We're living in some days where the Word of God is being fulfilled left and right. You can see it on the news. You can see it all over media. God is doing some things. Amen? And I always say this to people, God's purpose is greater than our purpose. We have a purpose, yes, but God is far greater than ours to fulfill. Because he said, I will fulfill every word, every jot, every tittle. He said, the Bible says, he watches over his word to perform it. Glory to God. He watches over his word to make sure that it comes to pass. So all the prophecies, all the promises, church, we can really believe and take in our hearts, say, God, you're going to do it. There's nothing too difficult for our Lord. Amen? So we're going to be talking a little bit here about the 10 virgins or 10 handmaidens. Now we got to understand, this is not a bunch of brides that Jesus is talking about here. This is one bride. One bride. One church. But for some reason, he gives us an illustration I'm going to read right now. If you'll follow with me, Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. It says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out and meet the bridegroom. I want to stop there for a moment. 10. So what is he doing? He's dividing. He's dividing. One bride, but he's dividing. Oh, sorry. I'm not used to this. Dominic knows that too, but he always has me do this. Love you, brother. But anyways, he's dividing the church. Because you see, there's 10 wise handmaidens or virgins, and there's 5 foolish in the Bible. Verse 2. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slept and slumbered. Now there's a lot there. And I'm going to try to break it down the best I can. And some of you probably know more than I do. But if you do, then you can be retaught. And those that don't know, you can learn. Amen? God's word. Pastor Dom always told me, Randy, God's word is never inexhaustible. Never. You could preach the same message over and over. And there's always something new in it, because it's living. But here we see, the open statement is, Israel is God's wife today. Amen? No matter what the media says, no matter what anyone says, God has been married to Israel ever since the Abraham covenant, which was 4,117 years ago. Think of that, church. God has kept that covenant, that promise to Abraham. All those centuries. Amen? God is a covenant-keeping God. God keeps His promises. He'll never break His promises. Never will. But the enemy today is trying his hardest to make us believe that he's going to break covenant or his prophecies aren't going to come to pass. That's the enemy's objective. Because if he can stop one prophecy from being fulfilled, everything else falls. That's why God's word is absolutely truth. His word is absolutely truth to the T. So we see that God is His wife. Who are we? The church. We're His bride. We're His bride. And I just got married. And I remember thinking about my bride, being with her and seeing her, how excited and how anxious I was to see my bride. Jesus is our groom. We're His bride. We're going to be married to Him. It's actually a love story. Amen. It really is. He went 2,000 years ago to prepare a place for us. And that's biblical because that's what they did in the wedding traditions. The groom would go to the father's house and he would build a room for his wife. For a whole year, he would be gone while the bride waited for the groom to come. We've been waiting a long time for our groom, Jesus Christ, but He's coming. He's coming, church. Make no mistake about it. He said, He who will come will not delay. Nothing will delay His coming. Nothing will stop His coming. No devil, no power, no president, no nation, no nothing. Once the Father says, Son, go get your bride, He's coming. He's coming. And this is what this whole message is all about. It's about the preparation of the church. It's about the preparation of the body of Christ. This parable of the 10 virgins illustrates the importance of adequate preparations for Christ's return. It's going to tell us how to be ready. Some of us may not know how to be ready. Some of us may think we're ready and we're not ready. I don't know. You only know your personal walk with Christ. I only know my personal walk with Christ. Even my wife, her walk is her walk. No matter who it is in your life. Amen? So So we got to understand, we're living in some days right now. Believe this, this is one of the statistics I just found out. Over 50% of pastors in America only last 5 years in ministry before they burn out. That's incredible, isn't it? My pastor goes, well, I must be the exception because he's been doing it 30 years. Pastor Diamond's been doing it many years too. Not all pastors, but a majority of the pastors in America today, 50% burn out before their ministry has come to fullness, till God's done with them. Why? Because of the pressures of society, because of the culture, because they don't want to offend nobody. They don't want to speak the truth. We have to understand the Word of God will offend. The Word of God will convict, and it should, because it's God's double-edged sword. It cuts both ways, church. And I know Pastor Dominic, when he preaches, I know, I call him Thunder in Africa. That's what I nickname him, Thunder, because he thunders. And I've learned from him. Don't ever hold anything back. So we see today we're living in a time where 50% of pastors in America last 5 years before they get burned out or before they're choked by the cares of this world, or they don't want to lose the tithe, let's be real. They don't want to lose congregation, they don't want to lose members. That's why a lot of churches that are preaching the truth today, you don't see hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people in them. Because people want to be tickled. They want their ears tickled. They want to feel blessed and emotional happy and all those things. And God wants that too. But sin is sin. Righteousness is righteousness. Holiness is holiness. And we need to teach holiness. We need to teach righteousness. We need to teach repentance. That's what young people need to hear, as we as adults. We need to hear that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You can write this down. I did it, or you can look it up later or write it down. I did it for lack of time. But this is what it says. And you know, this scripture, I know it's been talked about ever since Timothy wrote it. Years and years and years ago in the early church. But this scripture is so alive today, it blows my mind. Listen to what it says. Now the Spirit speaks expressly or explicitly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Listen, do you know since 2020 till now, over 33 million believers have departed from the faith. They have totally denied God. Most of them are agnostic, or they're completely without any faith at all. 33 million in America. I don't know about worldwide, but I'm talking about here in this country. 33 million. That says something. That says something. So this is the time we're living in. People are being deceived. People are being seduced. I see it all the time. People are following all this crap that's on Facebook and on social media, saying that the Word contradicts itself and all these different things. You know what it's saying. Some of you may not. But there's so much stuff out there that we have to understand. We're living in a time, church, where we must know the Word of God. We must have the Word of God in our life. We must discipline ourselves every day to read the Word, to pray, and spend time with Jesus. Or you could be seduced. You could be conned or manipulated into some false doctrine, some false teaching. But I know if you come to this church and you hear the truth, you're protected. See, the truth will protect us. The truth doesn't want to hurt us. It's not trying to stop young people from having fun and enjoying life. Listen, I'm 64 years old, man. I came from the pit. I came out of a lot of things. But listen, I'm living life to the fullest now. Why? Because I follow the truth. I follow Jesus. I follow the one who can set us free and deliver us from all the entanglements of this life and of this world, young people. Really can. He really can. He said, I come to set you free. Amen? And if I set you free indeed. That means that's it. You're free. You're set free. So we're living in a time where we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Now, it also said in here. Here we go. I took a note. Because, you know, a lot of Christians say, well, why do they talk about prophecy? Why do they say Jesus is coming and this and that? I want to hear other stuff. Well, I took a note. Listen to this. 318 verses in the Bible talk about the coming of Christ. 318. So almost 25% of the Bible talks about Christ returning. Amen? The rest is prophecy of what's going to happen in the last days and what's going to happen in the millennial, even beyond the last days. So then I think if there's that many scriptures, we really should be learning and desiring to know the truth about His return. Though we don't know the hour or the time, but we need to be ready. And this is what this is about. I'm going to get to that in a second. It said here, now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. You got to understand, in this type of tradition back then in the ancient days, it wasn't just a lamp that you put in your home, you know, a nice little ceramic lamp. No. It was a long torch, a wooden torch. And then it had like a ceramic around it, and then it had a rag in it, and they would dip it in oil, pure olive oil, and they would light it, and they would walk, and it would only last 10, 15 minutes before they had to dip it again. While they were going to meet the groom. Oil is so important today. And we know what oil represents. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. My brother back there was worshiping. He said, We need oil today in our worship and our prayer. So there's a lesson here. The foolish virgins, verse 3, those who were foolish, they took their lamps and took no oil. They had no oil. They had no oil. So what does this symbolize? This symbolizes the part of the church that says they know Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They act like a Christian. They may even look like a Christian. But they don't talk like a Christian, and they don't live like a Christian. Amen? We see that so much today. We see so many people professing to know Jesus, professing to know the way, but yet they live like the devil. They live like the world. Their roots are grounded in the earth. Their roots are grounded in the things of this world rather than in the things of God, rather than in the Word of God. This is what Jesus is talking about. The difference between the 10 virgins that Jesus is talking about is this one bride, there's not a multitude, I said that, the real church and the false church. See, there's the real church. My brother back there was talking to me about the false church. Can someone get saved in the false church? Yes, they can. They can get saved anywhere. I got saved in a crack house. Okay, 2017, that's how I got saved. That's how God brought me. Delivered me in the midst of dark. The light of God came in and set me free, and I've never gone back, and I never want to go back. Amen? So yes, you can be set free. You can come to the Jesus Christ in any place. It don't matter. Prisons, jails, false church. So this is what this represents here. The real church and the false church. The real church is ready. Amen? You're ready today. Praise God. I pray you're ready. Amen? You're ready. You're ready. If that trumpet sounds, you're going to hear it, and Christ is going to come, and you're going to go with Him. I pray that's going to happen. Amen? Because you got oil. Oil comes from being saved. Oil comes from salvation. Oil comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Once you're saved, you're filled with the Spirit of God. And it's a constant infilling. As we see, when they used to have to take these torches, they had to have vasks of oil. They carry vasks of oil with them. So when the light got dim, they had to dip it back in the oil to get that light back up. And what did Jesus say, church? He says, you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Amen? But if we lose that salt, if we lose that flavor, we're good for nothing to be trodden upon. If we lose our flavor of Christ, if we lose our flavor of the gospel, if we lose our flavor to bring to others, families, lost souls, communities, schools, young people. And I got to tell you something. I don't know. My hat's off to you young people to go to school and you can serve Jesus, and you're sitting here today tells me something. God bless you. You're a stronger than you think you are. You're stronger and you're mightier than you think you are to deal with the culture and all the things that's going on and still be able to come to church on Sunday. I pray you're here because you love the Lord. I pray that's why you're here. Amen? God said, I chose the young because of your strength. You're strong. You're strong. Strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. God is raising up young people today. We see the young lions roaring all over the place. You see them in the stores, their restaurants, in malls. They go, excuse me, and they just start preaching Jesus. I go, man, Lord, I don't know if I got that kind of boldness. Can you imagine that, being in a restaurant, all of a sudden they just stand up on a chair and they just start talking about Jesus, or in an airplane? This is what's happening out there. Young people are being raised up by God. Young lions. My wife calls them young lions. She's right. They are. We're the old lions. Amen? We're to teach and raise the young people. We're to love them, and we're to guide them, and we're to pray for them. We're to cover them. Cover your children. Cover your kids that go to school. Cover them no matter where they go. Even if they go to Christian school, it don't matter. Cover them. Cover them with the Spirit of God. Cover them with prayer and the Word of God. So we see the difference is that there's a false church and a real church. The difference is the foolish had an outward appearance, lacking a lasting spiritual foundation. I've said that so many times where I go, the Lord opens up doors for me to share. Listen, if we build our life on the things of this world, on materialistic things, and pleasurable things, and all that stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that, long as you keep Christ in the center. Amen? That's my prayer with our marriage, and I'm sure all you husbands and wives, you want to keep Christ right in the center of your marriage, because if you do that, you'll be successful. I just got married. I'm telling you how to be married. But that's what I'm doing. I'm praying that Christ stays in the center of our marriage and our life and everything we do. That's what we have to do, church. We have to do that. But the false church, they have an outward appearance of Christianity. But when it comes right down to it, they don't know Jesus. They don't know the Word. One thing I'm going to say, and I hope I don't offend nobody, but if I do, I'm sorry. I have to deal with the Holy Spirit. Everybody's saying, love, 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 love. I'm so tired of hearing that. And it's true, God is a God of love. But they forget righteousness. They forget holiness. They forget the purity of God. They forget the order of God. They forget the principles of God, the doctrine of God, the testimonies of the Word. They don't put that in there. Love everybody. Love everyone. We do, but we do not. At least I don't, and I never will. And I know the rest of my ministry won't. And my ministry under him is Camry, Christ Center Reach. We will not condone their lifestyle. We will not condone their lifestyle. We have to tell them the truth. Man with woman is the order of God. Two genders is the order of God. When you come into this other stuff, that's out of order. It's out of order, and it even looks out of order. Amen? But we live today where the church is now compromised, and they've opened up their doors to all these things. Listen, you can let the homosexual, the lesbian, the gay come in. Yes, they can come in, but we cannot condone their lifestyle. We cannot allow them to stand behind the holy pulpit of God, the office of the Lord, and preach the Word. No, that can't happen. It's against the Word. It's against the laws of God. It's out of order. Once you start compromising one area of church, then it goes over and over and over and over. And before you know it, man, you're wearing the rainbow shawl preaching. God's rainbow. God's rainbow. He created the rainbow. Thousands of years ago, after Noah finally caught land and he put it in the sky. You all know that. It was his covenant. There's his covenant. Here's his covenant. I'll never destroy the earth again with water. And I'll put my bow in the sky for all creation and all mankind to see that my covenant, I will never do it again. But the enemy has perverted the rainbow and has taken it, but not mine, not my rainbow. I love my rainbow. He ain't taking my rainbow. I still love my rainbow. Amen? It's God's rainbow. But the enemy perverts and twists everything, church. He really does. Anything that God has, he tries to pervert it, twist it, and make it ugly. No. Marriage is such a beautiful thing. You know, I'm 64 and I never understood marriage. I never understood it. I'm ashamed to say that. I grew up, it wasn't there. Women are special. You really are. You're God's daughters, you're God's creation. You're the only one that brings life. You have the mother's heart, you have a compassionate heart. The fathers are the ones that are supposed to be to protect you and cover you and stand next to you and support you and love you and uphold you and be strong. That's what we are. Now I understand that. I never did for years. I understand it now. I understood when I was engaged. That is God's order, church. Man and woman to be married. Man and woman to be together. Not man and man and woman. It's out of order. It's not sanctified. I told my wife, I says, I'm sanctified more than I've ever been sanctified in my life now. I'm married now. Marriage brings sanctification. It brings holiness. It brings purity. And that's the order of God. Anything outside of that is dung. It's useless. It has no foundation. Our foundation must be in Christ and Christ alone. The fake church, the apostate church that we're seeing today, their whole thing is built on the rainbow and on transgender and homosexuality. It's built on all these ugly things that go against God's word. Where do they have any type of foundation that has any substance? None. If I'm wrong, tell me. I don't think I am. But our foundation has all the substance there is. Our foundation is found on the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who created all things, hallelujah, the one who created you and I, the one who knew you and I in our mother's womb, He knew us. He fashioned us and designed us. I used to say, Lord, why'd you make me so tall? Because, you know, I've heard every tall joke there is out there. And I used to say, Lord, why do you make me so tall? I don't. And one day I heard the Spirit say this to me. You may not believe it, but I did. I made you to stand out, son. Whoa. That makes sense, Lord. Because I could never hide anywhere. Can you imagine me 6'7" trying to hide someplace? It ain't easy. So the Lord told me, I made you to stand out. And I said, you know, Lord, that makes a lot of sense. Of course it does. You're God. I'm just the clay. He's the potter. But it did. It made a lot of sense to me because wherever I went, God used me when I came to Him to proclaim the word. I'd stand out. I'd stand out on the streets of Rochester. I'd stand out in front of stores. I'd stand out wherever I go. I'd stand out in a church. But now I use it for His righteousness. Amen? So however God made you, He made you perfectly and wonderfully and fearfully made. Doesn't matter. Tall, short, doesn't matter. Amen? So they have no foundation, but our foundation is in Christ. The Bible says, let no man build any other foundation than Jesus Christ. Woo! My foundation is solid today. Is yours? It's just solid. Can you go through the storms? Can you go through the trials? Can you go through the testing? Can you go through temptation? Can you go through the system of this world? Can you go through the culture? If you can, then your foundation is built on the rock, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? But a lot of Christians today, they bend and sway and twist. They don't, no stability. One thing the Lord taught me when I came to Him in 2000, you're looking at a man, I had nothing when I came to Christ. Nothing. No one, nothing. Family was gone, my parents were dead. I had nobody. I lived in a crack house. I had nothing. No accountability, no stability. But in time, when I came to Christ, the Lord told me. I said, Lord, what's going to be the difference this time, me coming to you? And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, son, fall in love with my word. For years, I never read the word. I backslid since I was 12 years old. I got saved in a boys' home, Father Baker School for Boys in Lackawanna, New York. And I got drastically saved. But I never read the word. And that's why the devil could get a hold of me. That's why he could deceive me so quick. The cares of this world, the pleasures of sin would just choke anything in me, out of me. But this time I said, Lord, I was honest with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm scared to death to go out them doors. I don't want to go back out there. I'm afraid. And I heard the Spirit say, fall in love with my word. Be humble. Be obedient. Be faithful, and you'll never leave me again. And that's what I've been trying to do for these last 9 years. I fell in love with the word, man. And I didn't know how to read the word. I had a learning disability for years. I'd come to school and they put my desk outside the hallway. There, Randy, take your seat. You know, I mean, that's just how it was. But God taught me how to read because I had a desire to know the word. And who's the word, church? Jesus. Jesus. Do you desire to know him? Listen, I'm going to read this. I'm almost done. 7 and 8. It says this. We'll go to 6. 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. I'll go real quick. Listen, yes, they were all slumbering and sleeping. But the difference with the wise and the foolish is that when the bridegroom came, they were ready. They were ready. Amen? So it doesn't matter if you sleep. We got to sleep. We live it. We're humans. We get tired. We got to sleep. But it's okay to rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest in my presence, the Lord says. Rest in me. But be alert. Be ready. Because when I come, you got to be ready. Okay. I got to hurry up. 7 and 8. It goes on. Verse 6. And at midnight, a cry was heard. The bridegroom is coming out to meet him. He's coming, the bridegroom, Jesus. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now this was something, I had to think about this, and I had to look up some stuff, and I found this out. What it really means is that the trimming of the lamps for the foolish virgins was this. They were scrambling to get ready, to get their spiritual life in order. We can't do that, church. We got to be ready every day. Can't wait 10 years, 5 years, a year. You got to be ready every day for the coming of the Lord. Amen? Because when that sound sounds, and if you're not ready, I don't know. The Bible talks about that door's going to close. We're going to get to that in a second. Here we go. Someone who is religious, their life can mimic a genuine faith during peaceful times. Have you ever met people? They're so religious. They're so pious. They're so uppity up there. But when hard times come, when difficult times come, they call you or me. I need prayer. I need help. Or they don't even call anybody. They're not real. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the Lord. There's a lot of people today, I see them in the ministry, Pastor Dominic, in Rest Revive and Camry. They say they love the Lord and they follow Jesus, but yet they go right out and smoke, drink, fornicate. You know, I mean, no, there has to be a change. There has to be a change in our life. And many of you understand that change. I know when I came to Jesus, there was a drastic change in my life. I cursed for a while, but then even though when I cursed like a trooper for all my life, but when I started cursing then, or an old drunken sailor, I felt terrible about it. Oh, man, forgive me, Lord. I had a conviction. Something was in me saying, no, that ain't the way, you're not supposed to speak that language. But so many people today, they ignore the conviction. They ignore the moving of the Spirit in your life and in your home. You know, David said this, Lord, teach me to walk wisely in my house. Well, I studied that and I realized what he was saying. He was saying, Lord, as I am to the people as the king, let me be as I am in my home. In other words, the doors are closed. No one's around. No one can see you or hear you. How do you walk? Are you walking wisely or are you walking wordly? Listen, I preach to myself this because I had to also check my life too. What am I doing? How am I acting? What am I thinking? What am I watching? Teach us, Lord, how to walk wisely in our homes, among our children, among those that we say, don't do this, but I do it. Can't be like that. That's not good. No one ever learned from you. But when hardship comes and persecution, where is the oil? Where is the faith? Make no mistake about it, church, and I know Pastor Diamond shared this with you too, we're not exempt from persecution because we live in America. We've seen it already. I mean, I'm not going to get political, but the other administration, man, they tormented the Catholic Church. They really did. I mean, look what they did. They had people arrested in front of abortion places and all kinds of different things. Don't think it can't come back. It can. Persecution can come. And if you really think about it, in the book of Acts, where did the church really grow? It grew in persecution. It grew from hardship. Why? It weeded out the false church, the false prophets, the false teachers for the real believers, the real church. That's what it'll do. So don't think it can't come to America, church, because it can. It can, young people. And you're the next generation. You're the future of tomorrow. A lot of us with the gray hairs and stuff, we're getting close to going to eternity pretty soon, if the Lord tarries. So you could be the next ones that God is going to raise up and use for His glory and honor. And do great things in your life for the King. Not saying you got to be a preacher. No. You could be a doctor. You could be a lawyer. You could be a judge. You could be a construction. Whatever. But as long as you serve Jesus, you can witness wherever. You can have a church. I bring the church to the streets. That's what Camry does. That's what Rescue and Revive Ministry does. We bring it to the streets. Amen? Wherever you go, you bring the church. Because you are the church. We are the church. Hey, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to who sell and buy for yourself. Now, I had to study that one because that one didn't make no sense to me. How can you go buy? You can't buy salvation. But you see, this false church, these people, they're saying, wait a minute, can we have some of your oil? Can we get some of your? No. So what is this teaching us? This teaching is this. It's not by our race. It's not by anything that we're, inherited. Like, you know, the Jews, a lot of Jew people think they're automatically in the kingdom because of Abraham. No, it's not because of grandma. You can't earn your salvation by any relations or any other way except through the cross, except through the blood. That's the only way. And here, they're trying to get oil from the wise handmaidens of the Lord. And it says, no. Go get it somewhere else. If you think you can go buy it, if you think you can go earn it, then go do it. But it's too late. You can't. No, man. None of our salvation is by works. By grace. By grace. Lest any of us boast. I can't boast in anything that I have today. And I have a lot. The Lord has blessed me with so much in these 9 years. I can't believe it. And you know what I contributed to, Sister Jeannie, everybody? I contributed to this, the Word of God. Everything. The ministry, everything to the Word of God. Because if it wasn't for the Word of God, I wouldn't be here today. It's the truth. Verse 9, it's too late. Salvation cannot be bought. Relationship with God cannot be transferred. We can't transfer our salvation. Much as I'd love to give my sons, I would love to give my oldest son, Randy John, who I dedicated to the Lord at Holly Assembly of God Church when he was like 2-3 months old with my dad, who's gone to be with the Lord. I would love to give salvation to my oldest son. I can't. And I haven't seen or heard from him in 4 or 5 years. I don't even know where. Last time I heard he was in California. What do? I pray for him. And that's all you can do. If you haven't heard from your sons, fathers, mothers, pray for them. Pray for them. Because prayer can reach where we can't. Listen, one more thing. I'm almost done. My dad spent over 30 years praying for me. And I didn't come into the kingdom until he was dead for almost 18 years. I came. But I dedicate my life coming to him through Christ. His prayers. He prayed for me all those years, even in his death. God honored his prayers 18 years later. I was very stubborn, very hard-headed. I had to go through a whole lot to come to Christ. And every day I ask him to forgive me for that. Every day. What manner of love has a father bestowed upon us? Come on, man. There's 8 billion people in this world, but yet God took time out to deliver us, to call us out of darkness, to call us out of the grave, to come into the kingdom. 8 billion people, he took time. The Bible says he knew our name. He knew our name before the foundations of the world. That blows me away when I think about that. So I can just say, David says, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful? Who are we? He loves us that much. And he proved it on the cross. That's where he proved his greatest love. And that's what I tell people in the streets. You want to know love? The cross. The cross speaks of the greatest love ever demonstrated. The God of all creation spoke the world in existence, the stars, the galaxies, everything. He loves us on the cross. Amen? And it goes on. It says here, verse 11. No, excuse me, verse 10. And while they went to buy, these foolish people, thinking they could go buy their salvation, thinking they could go get some type of help or security, they went to buy, and the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. That speaks to me of the days of Noah. 120 years God gave the people of the world at that time to repent. 120 years Noah building that ark and yelling and telling people the flood's coming, the weather, the rain's coming, judgment. And they laughed and mocked and laughed and mocked. Today, don't we live in a society like that, that laughs and mocks and ridicules us? Scoffers, same thing. But when that door was shut, that was it. Noah! Screaming and yelling, but it was too late. Here's Jesus saying here, it was too late. The door was shut. Verse 11, afterward the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, and he said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. I don't know about you, but man, that scares me to death. I don't want God to say that to me. Do you? On that day, whenever that day is going to be, I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Son, enter to the presence of your Lord. Amen? But here he says, I never knew you. And that word knew, I've said this many times, you can look for yourself. In the Greek, it's very easy. It means intimate. You were never intimate with me. And it relates to a husband and wife intimacy. Knowing each other. Loving each other. Spending time with each other. Growing with each other. That same word, new, that's what it means. He likens it to a husband and wife relationship. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. It's the only prophecy in the Word of God, church. You can check it out yourself. Because I one thing about me, I told my wife this many times, I says, when I preach the Word, I take it very seriously. To me, it's life and death. Because I'm held accountable to God for every word I speak. I'm held accountable. And Pastor Dominic has always told me that too. So I study to show myself approved unto God, not unto man, but unto God. So I study this, and you can study yourself. The only prophecy no one knows about, right there. We even know about when the judgment seat of Christ. We even know about when the great white throne judgment is going to happen during the millennium. We know all that stuff. But this one prophecy, when he comes back, we don't know. We don't know the time nor the hour. And let me tell you something. I'm going to end with this. Those that ever say they know the time, get away from them. They're false teachers. 88, the Lord was coming back. 2020, the Lord was coming back. Come on now. Remember these false prophets on the internet? No one knows the time nor the hour, not even the Son, the Father, not even the angels, not even the devil, no one. The Father is the only one that knows. And when he says, Son, go get your bride. Woo! He's coming, and nothing's going to stop him. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, I just thank you for your word today that you allowed me to share with these precious souls. These are your people, Lord. This is your church. So, Lord, I just pray that every soul here knows you. And if they don't, I pray they get to know you today. The word of God says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. How could we neglect such a great gift of salvation? So, Lord, I pray that this word will sink down in our hearts and we'll study it ourselves as the Bereans to go home and study what I shared. Thank you for these souls. Thank you for this time. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.